And now more of Inside Central Oregon.
Hi, I'm Dave Clemens, and on the phone with me right now, I have Dr. Michael Herman. He's with the Corvallis Clinic, now with Optum. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about tips to support youth mental health. And what I want to start with is, does it seem like we have a bigger problem than we did, or is it we just know what to look for now?
I would say it is actually a growing problem. Like if we look at some base statistics, 1 in 5 of our youth are experiencing some type of mental health issue. And within that population, the chronicity or the duration of the symptoms is actually looking like it's growing. Some of the severity is popping up. So about 1 in 5 of that 20% is experiencing things like suicidal ideation, thoughts of self-harm, and almost half of that population has a persistent or chronic sadness that it kind of infiltrates every part of their day. So it's a pretty huge issue.
Why do you think that is? Why is this worse than it used to be?
That's a good question. It's never one particular factor, so that'll be hard to comment on entirely, other than to say it's a lot of changing parts. Some of what I'm going to talk about today with communication and health behaviors, I think there's been some changes in those areas of life that play a pretty significant role.
All right. Well, let's jump in. Let's talk about communication. What's this all about?
If you think about mental health stigma, a lot of times people don't want to communicate about it. You know, there's kind of the myth that if you're experiencing it, then there's some deficiency or weakness that must be a part of that. That if we talk about it, a lot of times people aren't sure what to do about it. So there's a little bit more of an avoidance tactic that comes up. But I can tell you that if we don't communicate, if we don't get curious and ask the questions, it only gets worse.
How do you start with that? I mean, you've got a kid, I don't know. Does anxiety fall into this thing that we're talking about? Because I hear a lot about anxiety.
Yeah, fair enough. Anxiety and depression are probably the most common symptom sets that you'll see or that you'll notice. They're also some of the most well-known. And asking the questions. I like this term, get curious. That's a wonderful place to start in your communication. Ask questions about their day. Ask questions about how they're feeling. If you get a one-word response, stay curious. We get things like, oh, I'm fine. And then we kind of take that as a clear pass. We don't need to explore anything else. Stay curious. What does fine attach itself to? And a big part of this communication, too, is be present. We tend to try to communicate around our devices, around 50 million things on our to-do list. Kids are pretty savvy. They're going to know whether you're present with them or not. Put the devices away, orient your body language so that you are paying attention to them, so that they know that you are invested.
What do you recommend to do if you're still just getting these one-word answers? I mean, do you get them professional help? And what do you do?
Using your resources, your family medicine provider, your primary care physician or your pediatrician, if you feel like you're at the edge of your capability as a parent or as a child, ask for that extra level of help. That's a great place to start. And it's pretty common that we have those primary care providers in our lives. If it's the parent specifically or the child trying to communicate to their parent and we're getting those one-word answers, there's a tool out there called the Wheel of Emotion. This is a very handy tool for identifying emotional descriptors that we can then get behind with more detail and richness of language and communication. This tool talks about the 6 primary or foundational human emotions: happy, sad, fearful, disgust, surprise, and angry. But we have all this other language that we like to wrap around, and that can really interfere with actually getting to what that foundational emotion is. Start at the foundation. Start with those 6. If you don't hear those 6, encourage them or invite them. Hey, when I hear fine, does that mean happy? If I hear fine, I'm not sure if that means happy. I'm wondering, like, is there any sadness? Is there any fear? Is there any anger that's showing up in your day? Like, so use those 6 as a prompter for richer communication.
Communication, obviously very important. We also were going to talk about health behaviors. How does that fit into all this?
So a lot of times, you know, one of the things that interferes with communication, like I was saying, is people not knowing, well, what do I do after I start communicating? What do I do? And mental health and mental health service, it's by history, has kind of lived in this little black box. It's kind of an unknown to a lot of individuals. And so the tools and the strategies, oftentimes there's thoughts about like, I don't know, there's some specific tools that are in this black box that I have never been introduced to. And the truth is, if you want a very good foundation of wellness, your health behaviors are the place to start. As an example, sleep. Having a very stable and consistent window of sleep that meets your needs. Sleep is huge. It has a very big ripple effect on our ability to think clearly and to regulate our mood. The frequency of nutritional intake. I'm not going to talk too much about what types of foods, but if we're missing meals, if we're skipping meals, if we're relying on grazing, there's enough change in blood sugar that mood regulation becomes very difficult. Being too short of water. And so without knowing medical conditions, that type of thing, a rough rule would be that if you're falling below 32 ounces of water most days, you're running a risk of getting mildly dehydrated and mood regulation goes right out the window. And then self-care, just regular self-care through the day. We tend to leave it until the weekend or till the end of the day, but self-care as we're going along. If you experience a difficult conversation, step away and check in with yourself. How am I doing? How did that impact me? Is there anything I need to do to kind of hit the reset button? We tend to kind of charge through our day. So those health behaviors become a really good way to make sure that you're setting yourself up with a solid foundation to do anything else.
Dr. Herman, is there a resource or something that we can send people to, maybe online or something, if they want more information?
Yeah, if you're looking specifically for providers, there's two in particular that I really like to use. PsychologyToday.com is a really well-curated database based on zip code that will help you find a whole wide range of providers if that's something that you're interested in. Another close one to that is going to be locator.apa.org. This is a website that's run through the American Psychological Association and lists out doctoral level providers in your immediate area. There's a lot of filters on both of these sites that help you identify specific issues or specific types of therapy or even preferences in provider that you're looking for. So from a service standpoint, those would be the two resources that I'd really encourage people to look at. Outside of that, a website that I really like is contextualscience.org. Lots of resources available to the public on this website on different human behavior and psychological concepts, very digestible for all populations. And there's a whole tab or section on that website for the public.
All right. We've been talking to Dr. Michael Herman from the Corvallis Clinic, now with Optum. Doctor, we appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Do you have questions, comments, or a topic for Inside Central Oregon? Send your comments to Horizon Broadcasting Group, 854 Northeast 4th Street, Bend, Oregon, 97701. Inside Central Oregon is a public affairs presentation from Horizon Broadcasting Group.